We've all had cases where, and I know my friend Richard Fernandez in Dallas always has this dilemma, where you think it's approvable, but you're not sure immigration is going to agree with you. And in all the good old days up until now, it was the case that if they denied your adjustment, years would go by before anything happened. But now they deny your adjustment and you get an NTA under the NTA memo. It changes your calculations because all of a sudden your client's in removal proceedings, fixing to pay a lot of money, being very unhappy. So if you have that adjustment, that even when you document it well, you know there's an issue there. You know, you guys got 3 DWIs and 2 PIs. That could go either way. And on discretion, and they have absolute discretion to screw you however they want to. Think hard about filing that and explain well to the client what the client's looking at in because of the danger of the NTA being issued following a denial. What does the thing do to us for adjustment applications? I think what the public charge regulations mean, and I'm going to get into something that's disputed in a second. I think what the public charge regulations mean as far as us doing our job is that we have to go beyond an adequate I-864 sponsorship or co-sponsorship affidavit and really load it up. And I think load it up with evidence that your person is not going to be a public charge. I think that includes evidence that they've worked, evidence of what their assets are. Always have an offer, unless you have some old person who can't work, always have an offer of employment to your client with your public charge stuff in the I-485. Give them 2 affidavits of support, even if one of them is adequate. Because remember, you're talking about people whose approach to your case is no, and who are looking for a reason to say no. And if they can just find something they don't like in that affidavit of support, they can say no, and then here comes the NTA. I put in my materials that the new USCIS public charge regulations include public benefits received by family members against, they count that against the applicant. Now, the State Department has specifically said they do. In the amendments to the FAM about public charge, Department of State has come around and say, yeah, we do. Your kid gets food stamps, that hurts you. The USCIS, on the other hand, has specifically said they don't. But we've lived long enough not to believe them. And they have this one nice little paragraph, and I'm not even going to tell you where it is because I want you to read this outrage. But they have this one nice little paragraph where they say, receipt of benefits by U.S. citizen children, for example, will not affect the applicant. But then all over the place, they say, well, the public charge determination is based on the totality of the circumstances, including the alien's family status and other things that smack of counting the poverty of the children against the applicant. So I don't trust them one bit. And so when I get that phone call from the client, that just is a heartbreaker, hey, can I get food stamps so my kids can eat? That phone call is a lot harder for me to answer than it used to be before these regulations came out. One more idea for people who really get burned by immigration and want to do something hateful. You know, this is the draw the blood. File a NATS application with a affidavit of inability to pay costs and let them deny that because they're likely to not deny those things these days. Then do the appeal with an affidavit of inability to pay costs and they'll deny that too. Then you file your lawsuit in the United States District Court with an IFP, with an affidavit of inability to pay costs, which are routinely granted by the clerk. And so then you have immigration coming into U.S. District Court where the court has already made the determination that this person is unable to pay a $420 filing fee, and immigration is saying, yeah, but we know they can pay $725, or what is it, $700 or $900 for the N-336. It puts them in a spot that there's no fun way out of that. And so when they deny your adjustment for unreasonable reasons, you know, you've got some arrows in your quiver, at least somewhere, where you can help a client and feel like a real lawyer. Thank you for your time.
Okay, it's my turn. I'm going to discuss special kinds of adjustment, asylum, refugee, VAWA, U's, and SIJs. Before I get into that, part of, in the materials, part of my paper provides a summary of the RFE NOID memo and some practice pointers, and some panels have talked about it. He just talked about it some. I just wanted to add that what those memos mean for us practically is that many of us have to change the way that we prepare applications. And I'm not just talking about making sure that you've done a thorough review of things that leave your office.